I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you see when you imagine heaven? The life of the world to come. Of course, the good book says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has in store for us. So in some sense, what is in store for us is literally beyond our too small imaginations. But that doesn't mean we can't guess or marvel or wonder. So what do you see? Hope you see Jesus, because without Jesus, heaven isn't heaven. But what else do you see? Is it golden streets? Is it streams of chocolate, if you're into that? Killer abs and perfect skin in the mirror, perhaps? Or maybe it's cloud nine, shiny faces. Who knows? Certainly one thing that all of us see as we see those people that we long to see now. And not just see, but to hear and to embrace, to smell. What do you see? So that vision of heaven, the world to come in your mind's eye, I ask you this. Do any of you see the Ten Commandments there? Maybe displayed prominently, big golden tablets on either side of the pearly gates. You shall. I'm guessing maybe not. But my goal is that by the end of this sermon, you will. My and the Holy Spirit's goal is that by the end of this sermon, you will be able to see those you shalls, you shall nots, hanging there prominently either side, maybe gold tablets, who knows, pearly gates, or somewhere in the world to come. Okay, that's the goal. So how are we going to get there? Well, the first thing is we're going to stop calling them the Ten Commandments. All right? Perhaps you know, perhaps you don't know that nowhere in the Bible are these words spoken here in Exodus 20, and then was it Deuteronomy 5 also. Did you know that the words Ten Commandments never shows up in the Bible? In fact, in the Old Testament, whenever they're referred to, it's just these words or the ten words. And in fact, since the word for words in Hebrew can mean not only words but things, it might just be the ten things. And since it can mean 10 things, I'm going to suggest a couple. First, the 10 protections and the 10 promises. And if you're lucky, you might get a bonus P, but you'll have to wait for that. The 10 protections and the 10 promises. First, the 10 protections. And to get at that, I'm going to talk about my dog. A dog named Leo. He's the best dog in the world. If you have a dog and you're in the best dog competition, you're all fighting for second because Leo is the absolute best. He loves lots of things. Loves belly rubs, loves treats, loves giving kisses. He loves spreading himself. He's only 2 feet long, but he loves spreading himself out in the bed in such a way, king-size bed, so that it's impossible for anyone else to be comfortable, which is hard to do when you're only 2 feet long, but he figures it out. But of all things, the best thing, what Leo loves the most, is Leo loves to play tennis. You're thinking tennis, well, what we call tennis. You see, because I can't throw the ball very far, I have a tennis racket, and I can really smack the ball, you know, a couple hundred feet with my tennis racket. So we say, we're going to play tennis. And Leo loves playing tennis more than anything. In fact, he loves it so much that we've taken to euphemisms in our household. We can't even say the word tennis, because if he does, he'll go nuts. So we have to say, we're going to do racket sports. Or I'll talk to Jen and say, maybe I'll take Leo to the club, the tennis club. And he just loves it. It's a highlight of my week, actually. Most Fridays mornings, you can find me over here at Azalea Park playing tennis with my furry little friend, because it gives me great joy, because he is absolutely built for tennis. He enjoys nothing more than tennis. It is like what God made this furry little shih-tzu to do, is to play tennis, to chase that ball. He's got a goofy smile because he's got a messed up tooth. But he'll just run and run and run until my arm hurts. The joy to see him doing what God made him to do. Now, we play over at Azalea Park, not just because it's close to where I dropped my son at school, but because they have a fenced-in baseball field there. And we play tennis, even though I don't think you're supposed to, but we pick up after ourselves. We play tennis inside this baseball field. And he absolutely loves it. And why do we play tennis inside this baseball field? Because we've learned that tennis can get spoiled if there's another dog nearby who will run and chase Leo, or Leo will chase that dog, and that would ruin tennis. Or we've learned that if I hit a bad hit and the ball goes into the tennis or into the parking lot, that can really scare me and would really ruin tennis forever for Leo and for me should something happen. Or if he runs off into the woods and the thorns cut him up, or in the water he gets all dirty. We play inside this fence so that Leo can do the thing that he was made to do, to play tennis, and that none of those things would ruin racket sports for Leo. So what does it have to do with these 10 things, with these 10 protections, as I'm calling them? It's because these 10 things, these 10 words, they act like a fence. God did not give us the 10 commandments so that he could stand up there, these 10 words, as you say, these 10 protections, and say, tis, 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 every time we should transgress. Worse than that would be if he had given us these 10 words so that we could use them as the basis upon which to judge which of us is the best little doggy. I've done these better than you have. Worst of all would be that he had given us these 10 words as a way to earn our way into his good graces, to get God to like us. Because you see, God already likes us. God already loves us. He already loves you. For God so loved the world. The words right before Exodus 20, where we get these "you shalls," God says through Moses, I am the Lord your God. I already am the Lord your God. I am the one who brought you out of bondage. Why? Because you kept all these commandments? No, there's not even commandments given yet. Because I love you and I adore you and I want the best for you. And I don't want you to go back into bondage. So I give you these 10 protections so that you might enjoy tennis. That you might live your life to the full, fully alive. So he says, have no other gods. Why? Because when you find your identity, your security, your meaning, why you're safe, who you are, what you're for, that's what it means to have a God. When you find all that in the one who loves you so much, he'd rather die than be without you. If you find all that, your identity, your security, your meaning in him, rather than in stupid stuff that will bite you and run you over and get you cut up, if you have no other gods, actually enjoy this life as much as Leo playing tennis. Or to skip to the 9th and 10th protections, don't covet your neighbor's tennis ball. Don't covet your neighbor's tennis partner. Because when you do, you're going to cause ridiculous fights with your neighbor. And your neighbor might have sharp teeth, and he might bite you. And even if he doesn't bite you, jonesing for his stuff, always comparing your backhand to his, is just going to ruin the fun of tennis altogether. So instead, God says, rejoice in this life. Play tennis. Life to the full. Live your life. And oh, what fun. The 10 protections. I could go through the 10 words. That can be your homework for this afternoon. Go through all of them and ask yourself, what protection is the God who loves me, who delivers me from bondage, who with whom I will spend eternity? What protection? What's he protecting with this word? First P, second P, the one I probably prefer, promises. Now, it was fun talking about my dog. I could talk about my dog every week. This is less fun, but it's a little easier knowing I'm amongst friends, sinners. I'm going to confess something. Anytime I confess something, it's always easy because I know I'm only confessing things that you would confess yourselves. I can be an angry person. Ask folks who know me well. I don't lose my temper often. I actually pride myself in not losing my temper. I don't lose my temper often, but I have this look, which I can give a person, that just says, you fool. Which Jesus says, Sermon on the Mount, is tantamount to murder. That kind of saying fool in your heart. I can be an angry person. And I already admitted it. I can be a proud person too. I said I don't lose my temper often, but I actually pride myself in that I am calm, cool, and collected, unlike the rest of you nut jobs who just go crazy out there and can't control yourselves. So I'm proud of that. I'm also a jealous person. When I find out good things about other people's lives, it's not always the case that I'm only happy for them. I could go on. You could go on. So angry, what I say? Angry, proud, jealous. But I've got something else to say. I'm not always going to be angry and proud and jealous. You know why? Is it because I'm making good progress with a quality therapist? Maybe. But even if that's the case, it's not the reason that I can tell you as a fact that I will not always be angry or proud and jealous. You know why? Because God has promised me so. Where has he promised me so? Where has he promised you so? Well, you guessed it. Those 10 words, those 10 things, those 10 promises. I am the Lord your God who brought you out. You shall. You notice that? Not I am the Lord who brought you out. Do this, don't do this, or else. But I am the Lord your God who brought you out. You shall. Simply statements about the future. And when you are the Almighty God and you make a statement about the future, you know what that counts as? That counts as a sure thing promise. That counts as something you can count on no matter what. Ben, you're an expert at setting yourself up on a throne, making yourself a god, looking down on the rest of those folks who lose their tempers. But my child, first promise, days are coming when you shall have no other gods but me. Days are coming when you realize what a poor God you make of yourself in comparison to me, of all the things that you worship, that they're just, Hebrew word there. And you angry jokers out there, get this, angry with the kind of anger that at least, if not murder itself, is murder in the heart, grudges, resentment, and all that garbage. There will come a day, God's fifth promise, when you shall not murder. When everything in your heart that gives rise to anything but absolutely pure love for your neighbor will be wiped away. You shall. You had that vision of what was to come in heaven. All these things, all the promises. The lame shall leap, the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, your dead will be raised. But why do I think we can put those commandments right there in the pearly gates? Because right along with those promises, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame leap, is this: the proud shall be humble, and the jealous shall be content, and the angry shall be joyful. You know, I actually think that those promises are amongst the most beautiful, the ones that I most look forward to God keeping. Because you know what is even better than having killer abs and perfect skin? No longer caring whether you have killer abs or perfect skin or any other ridiculous stuff we fix on. Not caring, because instead of making a god of your appearance, you shall have no other gods. What is better than shining on cloud 9? This is better even than shining on cloud 9. That when I'm on cloud 9 and I see you shining even brighter than me on cloud 10, instead of being jealous, it will absolutely be my pure joy to see my brothers and sisters enjoying something even greater than me. So much will my jealousy and my covetousness be all wiped out. And those loved ones we long to see, so that those joyous reunions can be more than a momentary joy. All the stuff that strained our relationships with those people that we longed to see, and none of them were perfect. You know, God forbid that you have to live for all eternity with me, the way I am now. But that those reunions would be more than just a joyous momentary reunion. All the stuff that could possibly strain those relationships, wiped away for good. You shall. Protections and promises. And a bonus P. How about the 10 poles? Because the thing about God's promises of what is to come, the way God uses those, is the promise of what to come reaches back into the present and starts pulling you there even now. Believe it or not, see it or not, and we usually are not the best at seeing it in ourselves, but God is accomplishing in your life right now what he will one day complete when you see him face to face. God is in the process right now of making it so you shall have no other gods. And how does he do that? Does he come and say, well, if you don't put me first in your life, I'm going to smack you down? No. No, he does that by constantly coming before you, maybe as he is right now, and saying, see how beautiful I am. See my love. See my grace. See my forgiveness. How can anything possibly compare with that? We could pick a commandment at random. God is already accomplishing in you his seventh promise, that you shall not steal or even want to steal. What, by saying, don't do it or I'm going to get you? No, by coming before you and saying, the God who gave you all things, who gave you his own son, how he will not possibly give you everything you need. Or the eighth promise, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not lie. God accomplishing that already. How? By coming for you, before you, as the way, the truth, and the life. By saying there's no reason to lie. What could possibly spill out of your heart, which would be so shameful? Why would you possibly have to lie about another person when you know whatever might come out, whatever truth might come out, it is covered in the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all our sins. So 10 things. 10 protections. Live within these protections and you'll enjoy tennis a lot better. 10 promises. What a joy eternity will be beyond chocolate fountains and killer abs when we are forever exactly the way God intended us to be. When we can live fully as our little furry friends already live, fully alive, doing what God made them for. And finally, 10 pulls. Knowing what God has in store for us already, pulling us in that direction. Beginning to accomplish in us what he shall finally accomplish when we see him face to face. Lord Jesus, do that quickly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.